Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Packers beat reporter Rob Domofsky. He's been covering the Packers for a long time, and he joins us now to talk about the latest on the Browns' coaching search, including Mike McCarthy, who was fired by the Packers and could be possibly the next head coach of the Browns. Rob, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great, and we've been waiting for 2 months to find out who the Browns coach is, and obviously we'll continue to wait a little longer here. The first question I ask to you is pretty simple. Is Mike McCarthy, who had success in Green Bay, but it ended ugly the last 2 years, how good a head coach is he?
I think he's pretty good. I don't know that I can tell you he's great. I think he's very good, above average. I would put him in the Andy Reid category. Although Andy Reid hasn't won a Super Bowl, I think McCarthy has obviously won a Super Bowl. He's had a long track of success. I do think it got stale here. I think it got to the point where he and Rodgers didn't see eye to eye. And look, coaching elite quarterbacks is not as easy as it may seem. In fact, I talked to Mike Holmgren about this earlier in the season. Shortly after Rodgers kind of threw McCarthy under the bus, if you remember that, after the Buffalo game, where they won the game 22-0, and Rodgers, trashed the offense. And Holmgren said, he goes, look, it's a blessing and a curse to have great quarterbacks. He did it with Montana, Young, Favre. And it, as great as it is, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And McCarthy did it pretty well for quite a long time with both Favre and Rodgers. Don't forget, when he got here, Favre was an absolute mess. He had thrown 29 interceptions the last year of Mike Sherman. They were 4-12. Nobody thought Favre was going to be able to rein it in. And 2 years later, they were in the NFC Championship game, and Favre had one of his best seasons, even though he didn't win the MVP in 07, had a really good year. And I know it was a long time ago, but I think Mike McCarthy can have a similar impact on whether it's a veteran quarterback or a young one.
You mentioned the word stale, and I want to just ask you about that, because a lot of people have acted like this offense in Green Bay has gotten antiquated and is not kind of adapted with the times. Is that something you've seen, and can that change if, let's say, he comes with a guy like Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I do think it did fail to adapt. I think that was evident in probably going back to about 2015, the year they lost Jordy Nelson. They didn't adjust very well. They didn't scheme up things. They relied on guys winning their one-on-one matchups. And the NFL is it's a scheme game, and the scheme didn't adjust, and people picked up on it. I do think McCarthy's going to have to take a long, hard look at the things that he believes in offensively. But those things, I think with the right guys around him, he can adjust and he can change. He's a really good play caller in terms of having a feel for the game. He's a good game planner. They just need to spice the offense up a little bit. And I think this, if nothing else, this should be an eye-opener for him to do that. He's really good at teaching the fundamentals of quarterback play, and that doesn't change. The footwork, the how to release the ball, how to go through your reads, that part doesn't change. The offense does need to change a little bit.
We're talking with Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for ESPN. Rob, Dustin talked about, the staleness. And I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous about Mike McCarthy. Yep. You said he's a good coach, and I you cover him. We don't. I just look from the outside, and I see how long it took them to use Aaron Jones when he was clearly the best back. And yep. I'm a little worried about the old school of McCarthy and the new school of Baker Mayfield. What do you think of that? And did he misuse Aaron Jones? Role in the offense?
Yeah, those are great points. I think we all thought Aaron Jones, probably should have had the ball in his hands more. But I can tell you this, here's what McCarthy believes. He believes that you don't want to wear a running back out because they're eventually going to get hurt. As Eddie Lacy, they did the same thing. If you look at Eddie Lacy, his carries, he never got over 20 carries until probably mid to late November, and you wonder, you know, should they have used any Lacy more? That is a concern. I do think a young quarterback will flourish under him because he's going to make the offense all about the young quarterback. He's going to have the quarterback invested. He has said many times, look, I believe this goes through the quarterback. Everything we do is to make the quarterback successful and give the quarterback sort of the freedom to run the offense. And Rodgers had that freedom, and I'm not advantage of it. Clearly there was a disconnect there, but I think a guy like Mayfield, you know, who needs some refining, who needs to be reined in a little bit, but also be put in a position where the offense revolves around him, I think he could flourish under a McCarthy philosophy.
You know, one of the other issues, you know, with coaches this day and age is the game management type of stuff. And I remember this year, I think it was back in November, I believe, when they were playing the Seahawks and
Seattle,
you know, 4 minutes to go, fourth and two, own territory, but decides to punt, right? And you've got Aaron Rodgers and you can't get 2 yards. And I believe they never got the ball back and lose the game.
Correct.
I looked at situations like that and I say, that is something that's very important. How is the game management? And is that something that was rare for Mike McCarthy in that situation?
Yeah, I think he was right more than he was wrong. But, yeah, there were some real head-scratchers. That was one of them. You know, I watch games all around the league, and I see that every week. I see, you know, coaches make decisions that you think, boy, I don't know that I would do this or do that. And, you know, the one thing I think McCarthy maybe relies too heavily on is analytics, which is interesting because he's, you know, probably more of an old school guy, yet he got caught up in the analytics stuff, and he claims that the analytics told him to punt the ball away there, although I'm not sure the analytics can take into account that, you know, their defense had lost two starting defensive tackles in that game, and Seattle was going to run it down their throat, which they did. So, yeah, it is worth questioning. I think you're going to get that. You know, look, no coach is going to make every decision right 100% of the time. But it is a concern. I also didn't like the way he used timeouts late in halves, especially the first half when he was on the defensive side of the ball, and it was first down. And let's say they stopped somebody for a 1 yard loss, he'd call a timeout to try to get the ball back. And next thing you know, his defense gave up, you know, a 12 yard completion on 2nd and 11, and the other team was moving the chains. So those are concerns. Those are things that you'd have to look at. But I think with the big picture thing, this guy really knows how to run a program. Knows how to build a program. You know, if he does have a fault, it might be that feel for the game kind of thing.
We're talking with Rob Domofsky, Packers beat reporter, covering the Packers for ESPN. You know, Rob, we've talked a lot about the Browns being the best of the eight available jobs, and we've said the Packers is the second best of the eight, but I'm sure a lot of people in Green Bay would disagree. Obviously, you got the more proven quarterback and the more stable franchise. We think the Browns roster is better overall, plus more cap space and draft picks.
Yep.
What do you say on that? Do you think the Packers job is the best, the Browns, or is it somebody else?
Yeah, it's those two, and it depends on what you're looking for, I think. I mean, if you're looking for long term, the Browns job's probably better. If you're looking to win right now, you know, maybe the Packers job is better just because of the quarterback. It's also, you know, look, there's no owner here. You know, that can be, you know, a blessing and a curse in a sense that if you work here, you know, you're not going to have an owner, you know, an impulsive owner meddling. From a fan base standpoint, I think they wish there was an owner who might have, you know, said to Mike McCarthy, hey, you need to fire Dom Capers before 9 years on the job, or you need to change this or change that. So, you know, from a fan's perspective, you know, this might not be the best job, but from a quality of attracting a candidate, I mean, you've got a hands-off ownership situation, you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you've got facilities that are second to none. So, you know, it sort of depends on what you're looking for, but I do think that those are two of the better jobs. Certainly, I'd take those jobs before I'd take Arizona or the Jets, Miami. You know, for sure, I definitely put those two jobs at the top of the list.
You know, obviously covering the Packers there in the NFC North, you have the report here today alongside Shefty that the Browns are going to interview Vikings OC Kevin Stefanski here today. Being around the Vikings, can you tell us anything about Stefanski?
Well, I can tell you this, Mike Zimmer's a really hard guy to work for. Just look at how many different offensive coordinators that he's had and the time he's been there. I think that it's been four of them, I believe. You know, the Vikings, look, they did not get everything they wanted out of Kirk Cousins. That's obvious. They paid him the $84 million guaranteed, and they did not He did not. But, I mean, look, they've got, you know, they've got some talent there. They created a really good receiver in Adam Thielen. Look, John DeFilippo, the guy who was fired mid-season, was going to get head coaching interviews until Zimmer, you know, pulled the plug and dumped him, and it just kind of ruined it for him. So Zimmer's a hard guy to work for. I think you got to take that into consideration when you sort of look at what's happened there. But I don't know that I would go hire an offensive coordinator from a team that didn't make the playoffs. That said, when the Packers hired Mike McCarthy in 2006, he was the offensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers, who had Alex Smith as a rookie quarterback, did not make the playoffs. Their offense was ranked 32nd in the league. It seemed like a tough sell at the time, but I think most people would agree that it turned out pretty well.
Hey, Rob, last thing. You know, I know Mike Pettine was the DC in Green Bay. He was the head coach here, and, you know, before this year, it had been the best Brown season in a long time, a 7-9 year, and a team that had no business going 7-9. And when he got fired by the Browns, it was kind of an ugly ending, and he seems to have resurfaced in a nice way. How is our old friend Mike Pettine doing there?
Yeah, I really enjoyed getting to know him. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, he said the first day he got here, he goes, "Look, my resting gaze is not a pleasant one." He looks like a kind of a tough, you know, hard-nosed guy. But he's really kind of opened up about how much he was beat up. He said mentally and physically he was beat up after the 2 years in Cleveland, and he needed the time away, and I think he's really become energized. And one thing they really want to do here is, regardless of who they hire, they would like to keep Pettine for another year. I mean, to sort of let him, you know, kind of finish what he started here. It's tough to come in as a first-year coordinator and do everything you'd want to do, especially when their personnel here maybe wasn't the greatest on defense. And I think that's sort of why you're looking at, you know, most of the candidates here are offensive side of the ball, because they'd really like to keep the defensive staff intact. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens depending on who they hire. But Pettine has said, he goes, professionally, this was one of his most enjoyable years, which is, you know, kind of crazy considering the rest. I remember when they hired him in January, I called Rex Ryan, who he obviously worked for in Baltimore and with the Jets. And Rex said, "Hey, look, those 10 wins in 2 years, you know, in Cleveland don't look so bad after they went 0-16. And, you know, he was trying to make the point that this guy's a pretty good coach. And, you know, I think we've seen that here. Whether he's ever a head coach again, probably not. But I think that he could be a very successful defensive coordinator here if they give him another year.
Rob, great stuff, man. We appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.